is Adam Riglian. I'm from SearchCloudApplications.com. I'm here today to talk PaaS with some men from ActiveState. Joining us today will be Vice President of Marketing Toph Whitmore, Director of Product Management Brent Smithhurst, Technical Communications Specialist Troy Topnik, and Product Marketing Manager Navroop Jahal.
So one question I ask almost anyone when I talk about PaaS is, how much of your time right now is spent still evangelizing PaaS, and has the market caught up to the marketing yet?
I'll take it. This is Troy speaking. I've been doing a lot of trade shows recently. We just got back from OzCon. We do a lot of the cloud shows. And certain parts of the market are very well educated about PaaS. They have even developed very strong opinions about it and what kind of PaaS is the one that they're interested in. But a lot of the people on the IT, these are generally developers who are well educated about PaaS because this is what it was initially developed for, to make things very easy for developers, this model of application deployment. So we do find ourselves educating the IT departments more, who are used to an infrastructure as a service or a cloud orchestration approach to application deployment, and we have to describe this developer-centered approach to this new model called Platform as a Service.
Yeah, this is Toph Whitmore. I would also add to that, it really depends on the enterprise. You know, obviously the early adopters are recognizing the opportunity and the value propositions, all the good marketing messages, you know, and benefits that PaaS can provide, from agility to accelerated time to market to cost savings to security, et cetera. One of the challenges we face is that very often larger enterprises are moving slowly and starting from the bare iron up. And, you know, they're wrestling with, particularly with enterprises looking at private cloud, it's a tough decision to kind of settle on an IaaS solution first, and then they're looking to PaaS. And so we've got a lot of customers who are very interested in our, I should say potential customers very interested in our PaaS middleware solution, but they, you know, kind of adoption is slowed by the decision-making around the infrastructure itself.
Staccato is billed as the PaaS that works with, you know, any stack, any cloud, any language. How was that achieved from a technical standpoint, and, you know, what was the thought process that underpinned that level of openness?
That's a great question. Yes, I'm looking at the tech guys in the room on that one.
I can take this one. So this is Troy speaking, and when we first got behind the idea of Platform as a Service and we wanted to build it, it was going to be focused on Perl and Python, even though we've traditionally as a company covered a lot of different languages. Our Komodo IDE, its strong point is that it's multi-language. So as we began to work on this and Cloud Foundry from VMware was released, it was a polyglot programmer's platform, and we decided to go with that model and expand it still further so that not just a core series of languages are supported, but the end user can actually modify the application containers to run any language at all.
I would also add, more than anything else, we have kind of taken this polyglot approach primarily because it's what our enterprise customers are asking for. You know, settling on a single language PaaS kind of ties you to that PaaS, not just for what you're doing currently, but what you're going to do in the future. And really, you know, the dynamic enterprise, so to speak, needs to be able to be flexible in the future. And our enterprise customers are developing in more than one language. Very often they want the flexibility of deploying to more than one stack, or at least the option to switch stacks later in the future. And, you know, then the cloud piece of it is really, again, a kind of a future-proofing your cloud. In the future, we're going to be using a lot more hybrid deployments, and we have really steered the product to be able to accommodate that going forward.
Yeah. One more thing about the multiple cloud aspect, the any cloud aspect. This project was originally started, the Cloud Foundry project was originally started by VMware, and there are no technical limitations. To their credit, they've introduced no technical limitations in the core code that limits it to running on VMware's hypervisors. It is platform agnostic by design. And we have taken that a step further by packaging it in a variety of virtual machine formats so that it's possible to easily move Staccato from one hypervisor to another, from one cloud hosting provider to another, etc.
When you guys, when enterprises adopt Staccato, who at the enterprise do you find is making that decision? Are you getting development managers who want agility, or business managers who think that adding a pass will give them greater ROI?
It's Brent here. I'll take this one. It's definitely a bit of both. The development side tends to be the ones who are first interested in it, and they'll often bring that to the decision maker in their organization. When it comes time to actually make the purchasing decision, that tends to be through the IT group.
Yeah, this is Toph again. We target three audience, and again, I'm kind of giving the marketing perspective here, but we really have our messaging really targets three audiences, and they're kind of three audiences in the enterprise organizations with whom we communicate and engage. You know, the developer. We want to make it easy for the developer to be as agile as possible. The development ops manager, the IT staff, the leads, we want them to be able to govern and manage their clouds in as constructive a way possible without imposing upon development staff. So, you know, we offer really kind of best-in-class administrative solutions and tools, web-based UI for our management console, so that, you know, there's kind of an overview of what's going on, and at the same time really kind of delivering the flexibility that the developers want so that they're not encouraged to go rogue and set up their own cloud over here on Amazon or whatever. You know, for the CIO, kind of our third audience that we're targeting, we really push for, you know, ROI messaging, cost savings in terms of time and productivity. So, you know, that's kind of how we really see the audience. In terms of the decision-making, it, as Brent noted, it is a little of both. It really kind of depends on the organization. We've had organizations, a couple of our enterprise customers have really pushed forward quickly because of internal developer champions who saw the opportunity here to spend a lot less time waiting to get stuff into the cloud. One example we use is a media company that's working with Staccato right now. And again, I'm the marketing guy, so this sounds exaggerated, but really isn't. They went from a four-week deployment process to a four-minute deployment process. And that just changes the way their developers work with their DevOps folks and gives them the opportunity for much better collaboration, much better proactive approach.
In the presentation you sent me, you know, you have several graphs plotting, you know, where you see the various PaaS vendors in the market. If you had to organize the market right now into groups, you know, what would you say the groups would be, and, you know, where would you put ActiveState in that?
I'll take this one, Brent. I'll kind of look to you to correct me if I have anything wrong here. I think there are a few key distinctions between the major players here. I think it has to do with who you're targeting. I think that there are many, many platform as a service providers that are truly offering it as a service. The Heroku example, where the middleware platform is offered as a service in a public cloud. We take kind of a, and there's several other, AppFog does that. There's many, many other platform as a service providers who provide that pure service. Now, we kind of go a different route. We go, and I think it has to do with the customers we're targeting. We're targeting Fortune 1000 enterprise customers for whom a public cloud is not really an option. And we obviously pitch a message of, we can run on a private cloud, we can run on a public cloud, we can devise a hybrid model for you so that you can take advantage of the best of both worlds. Now, in terms of where we fit in the space, we're not offering, you know, kind of a commodity service here. We're offering PaaS in a box, so to speak. And so most of our customers are kind of starting from the perspective, we need to take advantage of the benefits of the cloud and do it in a way that is private and secure. That's a very different business model and a very different sales model and obviously a very different marketing message than many of our public cloud competitors, like, say, Heroku, like, say, AppFog, like, say, any of the other
Google App Engine,
you know, those kind of folks. You know, there is great value in the services that they provide. It's just different. And we're more, the matrix that is in that slide that we shared with you really has us in the private cloud piece of the model. And we kind of really see it that way because it's a distinction in how we sell and in how we position ourselves against the rest of the market.
Yeah, I'd just add to that aside from the whole public cloud versus private cloud, we also mentioned on that graphic flexible versus less flexible. And what we really mean by that is we're flexible in that we can work on any underlying infrastructure, but also that we have the polyglot multiple language capability. So a lot of our competitors, even if they are in the private cloud space, they still tend to be either one language or one infrastructure.
Yeah. For instance, one of our competitors, Apprenda, recently blogged about the idea that they are .NET, right?
They're .NET exclusive.
They're exclusively .NET, and they provide a really, it's a good path, but it's just .NET. And so if you work in an environment where you are strictly a .NET shop, that's a great solution for you. If you're always going to be just a .NET shop, well, then go with Apprenda. If you want the opportunity to develop in other languages, you really need to consider some other options, us or a competitor who offers more language support. The Apprenda CEO recently blogged about the idea of running multiple paths, one path per language instance. And, you know, I just don't see that as a real practical solution in the longer term. I think that the advantage of PaaS middleware, and not to toot our own horn too much, but we really can bridge the chasm, so to speak, between, say, Windows and Linux installations and infrastructure. And I think that's the future. I think middleware can be very empowering in that sense, in that it can empower DevOps to have the flexibility to kind of develop in the languages and the platforms that are right for their business, not the languages and the platforms that are dictated by their hosting providers.
Yeah. A true polyglot approach or a true multi-language approach for any company would try, wherever possible, to have the developers implement the same workflow, use the same tools, and keep that consistent across the languages they're using. There's enough differences involved in just switching from language to language, or perhaps even building an application out of multiple languages, which is also possible and becoming popular. But it's good to have at least the same workflow so you're not spending a lot of overhead training people in the use of the different tool set.
Also evident from those charts you guys showed me is that, you know, the PaaS market is extremely crowded. You're almost running out of room to plot everybody on the graph.
I drew that slide. I completely agree.
How do you see that being thinned over the next few years?
Mergers and acquisitions, I suppose.
Yeah, there'll be significant consolidation. I think some will... I'll be very speculative as the marketing guy here. I think we'll see a lot of the one-trick pony companies, the startups, burn through their capital, and some of them will fall off the map. ActiveState, we have the competitive advantage of, you know, not being a startup. We're completely self-funded. We're a 15-year-old company. You know, we have a history in dynamic languages and development solutions, and we're really leveraging that as we shift into this space. And frankly, it gives us a good competitive advantage. Now, that said, I think you'll see consolidation. I think it's fair to say that you probably see, interestingly enough, some M&A consolidation with the infrastructure providers. It wouldn't surprise me if some of the big IaaS players, I'm not naming anybody, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of the big IaaS players subsumed some of the PaaS players just for the sake of, you know, kind of moving up the value chain, so to speak, and really providing extra value. What'll be curious to me is whether that, what I'll be interested to see play out, and I can't even speculate on this in the next year, is whether that leads to better flexibility for the enterprise customers, which is, I think, what they want, or less flexibility and more, even more vendor lock-in, which I think would be bad. Still, I think that is something you'll see in the next year.
All right, and just finally, you know, as platform as a service gains acceptance, you know, how will platforms evolve? You know, once enterprises are sort of done testing the waters or learning about it or experimenting with it in a maybe a free or freemium way, you know, what will change with the platforms?
I can tell you how ours is changing. We were GA in February. We've just released 2.0, and we're on an extremely rapid development cycle for this product. And it's changing based on the needs of our customers. Our early prospects and the people in our beta program directed what was going to be in 1.0, and our customers are dictating what is going into subsequent releases. So that's sort of our approach in terms of how we develop Staccato, and I suspect that most of the other successful companies are going to be doing something similar. So what we did in 2.0, for instance, we made things a lot easier for the administrators. We, you know, PaaS is really something that is geared for developers because it speeds up the development and deployment process so much. What was missing was tools to make it very easy for the
administrators, the people who actually have to babysit the system, who have to maintain it, who have to allocate resources and such, the tools for those people, the sysadmins of the world, were fleshed out and are continuing to be fleshed out. Where the rest of the guys will go, I don't know. Brent?
Yeah, I got an idea, but I'll let you go first.
Sure. Well, I think that the infrastructure people will gradually be adding more and more PaaS capabilities to their own infrastructure. And I think that that will play to our strength, because you'll end up with Amazon, Azure, HP, whoever else, all these big, big companies with their own locked-in platform that if a customer goes with them, and there's really no way out for them. So we still want to be infrastructure agnostic and allow a large organization to have their private cloud, but be able to, you know, join that or burst to a public cloud provider like Azure or Amazon.